Senate, please come to order. Would the members please note their presence by voting? Somebody hasn't voted, I count them.
Senator Ferguson.
Come right on in, Senator Ferguson. This is just the roll call. You can hit your button. Will the secretary please take the roll?
The roll shows 13 senators present this morning. Senator Ziegler is excused from the call of the Senate today.
Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move and ask the Senate those absent senators be absent on an official state business through the Finance Committee process.
So ordered. Would the Senate please rise for prayer? Father Cohen, Cathedral of the Nativity.
Let us bow our heads and ask for God's blessing. O Lord, the whole world is full of your glory. We commend our country in these trying times to your merciful care, that we may follow your guidance and live in peace. Give to the legislature of this great state and all in authority wisdom, strength to know you and to know your holy will. Fill all members of this assembly with love of truth, honesty, and righteousness. Make them always remember that they are your servants, called to lead and serve this state in the fear of your righteous judgment. Amen.
Will the secretary please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 103rd, 104th, and 105th legislative days, Senate Supplement Number 29, and Senate House Supplement Number 10.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals for the 103rd, 104th, and 105th legislative days and Senate Supplement Number 29 and Senate House Supplement Number 10 be approved as certified.
And no objection, the journal is certified. This brings us down to introduction of guests. Does any member have a guest to introduce? Continue to messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Are there any messages from the House?
Message of April 25. The House has passed the following in return. Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 477 amended, shooting and firearm safety. This has been sent to enrolling. Message of April 25. The House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Sponsor substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 66 amended by Representatives Duncan and Miller relating to the upgrading of the White Pass and Yukon route.
State affairs.
Sponsor substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 67 amended by Representatives Duncan and Miller relating to the upgrading of the White Pass and Yukon route.
State affairs.
House Joint Resolution Number 87 by the State Affairs Committee, requesting the United States Postal Service to establish a philatelic service center in Alaska.
State Affairs.
House Bill Number 656 amended by Representative Zaroff by request, an act creating the Tugadak Island Critical Habitat Area.
Resources.
House Bill Number 698 by Representatives Branson, Malone, and O'Connell. An act relating to the composition and representation requirements of general law boroughs and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 778 by the Commerce Committee. An act relating to the taxation of electrical cooperatives and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, and would you take a look at that and see if it has financial implications? If it does, why don't you send it off to Finance.
House Bill Number 904 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, enact relating to the auditing of oil and gas royalty and net profits payments and reports and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Those are the messages from the House today.
Do we have any communications?
We have no communications.
Do we have any reports of standing committees?
A report from the Judiciary Committee regarding the confirmation of Mr. William J. Gordon to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Dear Mr. President, the Judiciary Committee, after making its customary thorough investigation, interposes no objections to the confirmation of the above-named individual to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Mr. Gordon appears to be highly qualified. Very truly yours, Robert H. Ziegler, Chairman. Concurring, Senator Dankworth, Senator Meehlin, Senator Ray, and Senator Bennett. A report from the Judiciary Committee. Dear Mr. President, regarding the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, Mrs. Olga S. Carson and the Human Rights Commission, Mr. James Chase and Ms. Arlene Dilks. The captioned individuals are apparently acceptable to the members of the Judiciary Committee. At least no one has interposed objection. However, no member of our committee is bound to vote for or against the confirmation of any of the enumerated individuals when the joint session or confirmation is convened. Respectfully submitted, Robert Ziegler, Chairman. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 294, Susitna River Hydroelectric Project, and reports it back with an amendment and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Holman, Vice Chairman, concurring Senators Sumner, Hackney, Bennett, and Curtula. Senator Ray signed, no recommendation. SB 294 has no further referral.
The rules.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 418, Electric or Telephone Cooperative Associations, and recommends due pass with an amendment. Signed, Senator Holman, Vice Chairman, concurring Senator Sumner, Hackney, Bennett, Curtula, and Ray. SB 418 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 575, authorizing issuance and sale of an additional $15,987,000 in revenue bonds for international airports, and recommends due pass with an amendment. Signed, Senator Holman, Vice Chairman, concurring Senator Sumner, Hackney, Bennett, Curtula, and Ray. SB 575 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 436, Grants for Solid Waste Processing or Disposal Facilities, and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Holman, Vice Chairman, concurring Senator Sumner, Hackney, Bennett, and Curtula. 436 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 539, making an appropriation to the Department of Public Safety for Emergency Medical Services, and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Holman, Chairman, concurring Senator Sumner, Hackney, Bennett, and Curtula. SB 539 has no further referral.
Rules.
The Finance Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 546, increasing prejudgment and post-judgment interest rates, and a majority of the committee recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Holman, Vice Chairman, concurring Senators Hackney, Bennett, and Ray. Senator Sumner and Senator Curtula signed, no recommendation. HB 546 has no further referral.
Rule.
The Commerce Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 994 amended, continuing the existence of the Board of Welding Examiners, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute and due pass. Signed, Senator Bradley, Chairman, concurring Senator Sturgiluski and Senator Stimson. Senator Kelly signed, no recommendation. 994 has no further referral.
Rules.
Those are the standing committee reports this morning.
Are there any special committee reports?
We have no special committee reports.
That brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Oh, Senator Farrenkamp.
Mr. President, may we refer to the election guest?
Well, hearing no objection, the Senate reverts to the introduction of guests.
Mr. President, I have a friend, a constituent from the Bar Gallery. His name is Barry Brown from Fairbanks. I'd like to welcome him.
Any further introductions? Back to consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill Number 519 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the use of limited entry permits as collateral for loans. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, signed do pass. Senators Rohde, Kelly, and Bradley signed no recommendation. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Ziegler, Chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Meeland, and Dankert. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and Senate Bill 519 be considered engrossed, advance third reading, and place for final passage.
Senate Bill Number 519, an act relating to the use of limited entry permits as collateral for loans.
Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, both Section 1 and Section 2 of this bill is strictly a housekeeping bill. It creates some technical or conflict in existing law.
You ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Bill 519 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 1 excused, and 3 absent.
And so Senate Bill 519 has passed the Senate.
House Bill Number 486 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to highway signs and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Mulcahy and Senator Kelly signed do pass. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation. Senator Ziegler signed why don't they put up a sign? There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and House Bill 486 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
House Bill Number 486, an act relating to highway signs and providing for an effective date.
Question.
Question. The question is, shall House Bill 486 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
Roll shows 15 yeas, 1 excused, and 3 absent.
And so House Bill 486 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of House Bill 486 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Hear no objection. The effective date clause is adopted.
Can we stand at ease, please?
Secretary.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 155, an act relating to the establishment of separate accounts by life insurance companies and providing for effective date is in third reading on reconsideration.
Question.
The question has been called for. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 155 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will take the vote.
Roll shows 12 yeas, 3 nays.
And so committee substitute for Senate Bill 155 has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection,
no.
The effective date clause
to
is...
Voters.
What?
You have to vote.
There's only 12 votes.
Only 12.
Oh, pardon me, you're right. Do you want to get it up? The question is, shall the effective date clause on committee substitute for Senate Bill 155 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 1 excused, and 4 absent.
And so the effective date clause on committee substitute for Senate Bill 155 has passed the Senate.
Second Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 22, an act relating to donation of blood by those who have reached the age of 17 years, is in third reading on reconsideration.
Question.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, AS 2520-010 is the age of majority, which states 18. Age of majority for handling your own affairs. So when you say 17, why don't we say 16, 15, 14, 13? If they aren't legally in control of their own affairs till they're 18, why are we allowing them to break down, once again, the family unit, allowing them to do something without the permission or even knowledge of their parent or guardian? And what you're doing here when you say you're giving them the permission, without the permission, if a parent doesn't want to give them the permission, it still allows them legally to defy their parents and go ahead and do something. I think it's a bad bill.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 22 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 7 yeas and 8 nays.
And so Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 22 has failed to pass the Senate.
House Joint Resolution number 59 by Representatives Gardner and Hayes relating to the payment of extended unemployment benefits. The Labor Management Committee considered this resolution and reports it back with a majority, no recommendation. Senator Ferguson, Chairman, signed do pass, signing no recommendation were Senators Bankworth, Gray, Bradley, and Coletta. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and House Joint Resolution 59 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
Senator Ferguson, you raise an objection to the
House Joint Resolution number 59 relating to the payment of extended unemployment benefits.
Senator Ferguson, you wish the floor?
Yes, I do. Mr. President, this resolution will allow for Congress, request of Congress to change an act to deal with unemployment extended benefits would be a savings to the state about $2.7 to $3.7 for fiscal year 81 through 85. We should adopt the resolution.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
I don't have any trouble with it except for the verbiage on line 23, I guess. We're asking them to amend the law to allow us to pay only if they reside in a, it seems like we're, the wording there is a little backwards. We're asking Congress to amend something to allow us to do something only if. That seems backwards.
I believe that's the wording of the bill before Congress.
It is.
That.
Question.
The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 59 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
Roll shows 14 yeas and 1 nay.
So House Joint Resolution 59 has passed the Senate.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 65 amended by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee expressing gratitude to the Canadian government and the Canadian citizens involved in the rescue of six Americans from Iran. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde, Ziegler, Kelly, and Bradley. There are no amendments.
Senator Clement.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 65 amended be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 65 amended, expressing gratitude to the Canadian government and the Canadian citizens involved in the rescue of six Americans from Iran.
Question.
Senator Rohde, you wish the floor?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. I'm almost afraid to send this resolution off. It's been several months since the Canadians assisted our staff people in escaping from Iran, and I think it may well be a left-handed compliment of sorts because so much time has passed. Also, in drafting of the resolution, the reference is made to the Canadian caper. I think that Her Majesty's government might well think that rather familiar, and perhaps not the best form for a resolution from Alaska to Ottawa. I think we all appreciate what our Canadian cousins have done for us and the fact that they've stood by us for many years, and I am a little bit reluctant to send that language to the Canadian government and added to the fact that we're several months late.
Do you have an amendment, sir?
Mr. President, I'd be happy if we would hold this over for one day to offer some substitute language that I think would be more befitting to our Canadian friends.
Ask unanimous consent.
I would so move, Mr. President.
Unanimous consent has been requested that committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 65 be held one legislative day. Hear no objection, so ordered.
House Joint Resolution number 71 by Representative Carney, relating the Baggage Bogs Visitor Center. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and the majority of the committee recommends due pass. Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler and Rohde. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and House Joint Resolution 71 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
House Joint Resolution number 71 relating to the Baggage Bogs Visitor Center.
Question.
The question has been called for. The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 71 pass the Senate?
Mr. President, let's be able to use 1 minute, please.
Give us a moment to clear it, please.
Well, you need to clear the roll.
Yeah.
Would the Secretary please clear the roll? We'll avoid that. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 71 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 excused, and 2 absent.
And so House Joint Resolution 71 has passed the Senate.
House Joint Resolution number 83 for the Finance Committee by request relating to compensation to Alaska physicians who participate in the Medicaid program. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this resolution and a majority of the committee recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Hackney, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson and Sturgiluski. There are no amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the rules be suspended and House Joint Resolution 83 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed for final passage.
No objection.
House Joint Resolution number 83 relating to compensation to Alaska physicians who participate in the Medicaid program.
Are you ready for the question?
Wait.
Question is, shall House Joint Resolution 83 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 16 yeas and 1 nay.
And so House Joint Resolution 83 has passed the Senate. This brings us to the bottom of today's calendar. Senator Coletta.
President, stand at ease, please.
Senator, please come back. Order. Is this one that just arrived?
No, Senator Ray is going to reconsider it.
Under unfinished business, Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 636. It has to be taken up this time.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill Number 636, an act relating to flags for divers.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
I would move that we revert to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Madam Secretary, would you care to read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Senator Ray. Page 1, line 20, delete the word boats and insert outside commercial shipping lanes, comma, boats.
Mr. President, I would move the amendment.
Ask unanimous consent?
Yes, sir.
Hear no objection. Amendment number 1 is adopted.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 636 amended be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed for final passage.
No objection.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill Number 636 amended Senate, an act relating to flags for divers.
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 636 amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. What's the problem?
She wants to change it. What's wrong with it?
Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 excused, and 2 absent.
And so Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 636, as amended by the Senate, has passed the Senate. Does any member have anything further under unfinished business? At this time,
Mr. President,
Senator Sumner,
I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on Senate Bill 519, please.
Your reconsideration will be noted. At this time, under unfinished business, I'd like to appoint Senator Don Bennett as the Senate member to the Governor's Blue Ribbon Commission. Teacher conflict, I believe, is the way it's worded. Is there anything further under unfinished business? If not, we're now under special orders. Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, just a brief, please.
Pass second sponsor substitute or second committee substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 22.
You ask unanimous consent?
Yes, sir, and it's my intent that after we rescind our action that I would ask that be returned to rules.
Double action.
I'll need a vote to on that. So the question is, shall the Senate rescind its action on failing to pass Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 22?
Question.
The question has been called for. Members may proceed to vote. And so the Senate has rescinded its action in failing to pass Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 22. Senator Ray?
Now, Mr. President, I would ask that second committee substitute for Senate committee substitute for House Bill 22 be returned to rules.
Ask unanimous consent. Yes. Hearing no objection, Senate committee substitute for House Bill 22 has been returned to rules. Senator Clark.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 3 be deferred one additional legislative day.
No objection, so ordered. Is there anything further under unfinished business? Special order. Senator Sumner.
I move and ask unanimous consent for special for privilege of the floor.
You have it, sir.
Mr. President, I was in Anchorage over the weekend, and I'm meeting with some people who have literally been displaced from their homes with this year's, not intentional, but nonetheless just equally as effective yo-yo loan program, where it's on one day and off one day and on one week and off one week. We have created a dilemma within in some of our state, some parts of our state, where people who, in the process of selling their home, may take a earnest money agreement, and the folks that are buying their home gets a loan approved under the program, and they in turn put earnest money down on the place they're going to move, and they go to the bank, the credit's approved, but there's no money. Now there's an enforcement to move into their home, and successful in many cases. And so we actually have people who are longtime residents of this state living in hotels today because they can't get into a home. And it's not just an isolated instance. I received at my home in a matter of about 15 hours, 65 phone calls from people who are caught in this kind of a box. I believe that there ought to be some way in the absence of legislation, in the absence of a long-term loan program or permanent loan program, to accommodate those people specifically displaced or in that particular legal situation where they are legally required to move from the home that they're in, and in some cases have moved, and their credit is approved, but simply money is not available to allow for the purchase of the home that they plan to buy. I think this is something that can't await, cannot await, the outcome of what will ultimately be the loan committee that you appoint to solve this case. I think today there should be some attempt to meet with the powers that be in the state government, see if we can't accommodate that kind of money immediately. I'm not sure. I'll try today to get an estimate of the total amount of dollars required, but it can't be all that much, and it would at least get people back into their homes and out of hotel rooms.
Senator Rowdy. Mr. President, I would move in the unanimous consent that I be given the special privilege of the floor for the same topic.
Yeah, you have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, there's no question that the matter which Senator Sumner talks about is a very real problem for a good many Alaskans around the state. Like the good senator, I've received a number of calls myself, and let me suggest one thing that we can do immediately, and that is a number of the people I've talked with and have had my staff work with are eligible for veterans loans, and there is some additional money there, and I've assisted several people in transferring their applications into the veterans loan program. A number of the people who applied for state money were longtime residents of Alaska and were veterans, certainly the kind of people that are very, very deserving of help. Secondly, the banking committee did hold hearings on the monies that were allocated by the state, and it appears that the figures that Senator Sumner was referring to will be available to all of us within a day. The department had not yet done the final tallying work, but the estimated amount of mortgages that are sitting in banks throughout Alaska or financial institutions more properly is approximately $75 million. There are several million dollars in applications here in Juneau which have been received that will go beyond the $105 million amount that the governor allocated. The problem, of course, is that money was allocated on a first-come, first-served basis instead of allocated to financial institutions on whatever basis was appropriate. So there was no limit known to anybody that was writing a loan, and of course, because it was first come, first served, everybody tried to get there first. That created the problem. It's certainly a natural thing to do when you try and the banks and those people seeking loans try and do as much as they can to get there. I would have hoped that allocation would have been used differently, but that's behind us. I think the problem needs to be solved, and I think we have the facilities to do that very shortly, certainly in the interim as well as in the long run. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Rohde, I hope your committee also shows the number of people who had loans who merely sucked up the money as a method of getting cheaper loans, therefore not helping anybody that was without a home. Senator Curtula.
Chairman, on about Thursday, if I may rise on the same subject, when the real estate people were down saying they could not go back, Mr. Marston, one of their spokesmen who has great credibility in this field, longtime Alaskan, spoke with the governor and the commissioner of revenue in my presence, and that led to subsequent meetings, and this is not immediate, but it may be salutary, and that the administration, is my belief now, the administration is seriously considering perhaps altering the effective date of the 15% that would go into home mortgages of the revenue fund, of the permanent fund, for a brief period. They recognize now the crunch, and they may also provide for a system in which the permanent fund might go into mortgages with a differential being paid between the 9.5 mortgage and what the permanent fund would receive in other investments being paid by the general fund into the permanent fund, so there is no loss there. I think that might be a responsible halfway guide to solution of the problems that have been expressed particularly by Senator Holman and others on this floor on the need for immediate money. Many members from the Anchorage delegation, including Senator Sumner, recognize this.
Senator Sumner, you wish the floor again?
Yes, sir, just for about half a minute. I think I and others here realize is that there may have been some abuses by many as it relates to the money that was on the street, and that there may be other solutions to accommodate them, either in the long-term solution to the loan program, in terms of the veterans loans. But what I'm trying to accommodate today, and I didn't want to address the complaints about the program or other long-term solutions, I'm just saying that for the people who are actually displaced or on the eve of displacement from their home, I'd like to see an answer and a solution and money available, a decision available by the end of the week on that. I think if, in terms of some rough calculations, that we may be talking $3-4 million to accommodate those individuals. And assuming that there is a legal, legitimate approach to do that, to accommodate that, and people who are physically displaced, that's the emergency that I'm trying to accommodate at this time. And I ask and urge your participation and assistance in that regard in meeting with the administration. You've been known to have some impact with the administration from time to time, and the reverse of that is true too.
Anything further on special orders, Senator Ferguson?
No, we have a brief at this point.
Anything further on special orders? Announcement of committee meetings.
Mr. President?
Yes, Senator Sturgeluski.
Yes, tomorrow, 1:30, Butkovich Room, committee substitute for House Bill 192, amended, which relates to revenue sharing, SB 562, relating to the formation of coastal resource district areas, and SCR 66, directing the Alaska Legislative Council to revise AS 29 municipal government.
Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, this committee will not repeat now. It's meet this afternoon.
Senator Dankworth.
Yes. Mr. President, the judiciary meeting will not be meeting this Tuesday, but will meet on Thursday to take up Senate Bill 309, Adoption Amendment, Repeal and Filing of Regulations and Requiring the Preparation of Local Government Fiscal Impact Statement. Senate Bill 498, Amending the Motor Vehicle Code. SJR 70, Urging the Resumption of Diplomatic Relations and the Obligations of the Mutual Defense Treaty with the Republic of China. House Bill 389, State Regulation of Fireworks. Committee substitute for House Bill 686, Donors of Food to Nonprofit Organizations. Committee substitute for House Bill 917, Foreign Trade Zones. House Bill 949, annulling 15AACO 54104, HB 865, civil liability for personal injuries or death occurring on unimproved land.
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, the Senate Commerce Committee will meet at 3 o'clock in the Belch Room of the Capitol Building tomorrow to consider the following bills: Senate Bill 543, Alaska Small Loan Act; Senate Bill 544, continuing the Barbers and Hairdressers Board; Senate Bill 572, continuing the Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors Board. There will also be a work session on the sunset of the Real Estate Commission, and also the confirmation hearing for Colleen Bowers, appointee to the Public Accounts Board. And Representatives Byrne and Randolph have asked me to announce, and they have arranged for the Lieutenant Colonel Archibald Roberts of the committee to restore the Constitution to appear at the Gastineau Room at the Baranoff Hotel from 6 to 7:30 p.m. this afternoon, a no-host cocktail party. This individual has retired after 26 years in the military service, has addressed joint sessions of the legislatures, written several books, and is a successful litigant in a precedent-setting lawsuit against the Secretary of the Army, Cyrus R. Vance, involving freedom of speech of military personnel.
Senator Sumner.
Mr. President, with your leave and out of order, I plan to be here tomorrow. There's only a very remote possibility that I would not be, but I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the Senate tomorrow.
The General will further reflect. Senator Ray.
Neither the Chairman or the Vice Chairman of Finance, but I understand Finance will be meeting at 1:30 this afternoon and at 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Thank you, sir. Are there any further committee announcements? Senator Clark.
Mr. President, I move it as unanimous consent. Senate adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Yep.